Hi, this is Donna with the Waldorf Connection, and welcome to our Homeschool Academy call about socialization, pop culture, and media. I feel like this call could probably be 5 hours to discuss all the stuff that we want to get in here about this. And I think it's really good timing of this call. I was telling Anne because I just, you know, I know you guys may be listening to this later on. Or whenever, when we're recording this call is right after the holidays, so it was had sort of 2 months of dealing with some of these issues, so they're really fresh in my mind. So it's really a great time to be talking about all of this, and welcome to Anne. You there, Anne?
I am here.
All right, and I know we've got some people on the line, so that's good. We'll take some questions, and all right. Do you want to kind of start it off, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd love to. This is one of my favorite topics. And I was just thinking so much about this because I did a number of surveys as part of my master's degree, talking with parents about some of these very important questions. And so it's really kind of up for me also. Just I feel like as we more and more things are developed. I mean, at a lightning speed. You know, every day there's some new development in terms of technology and, you know, all the options. So it's just a perfect time. So I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about what I wanted to accomplish today, myself, and what I wanted to help you understand and help you kind of come to for yourself. And that is just, you know, clarity around the issue of how you can, you know, stand strong in your commitment, whatever it is, whatever you've decided you want for your family, to sort of give you some ideas and suggestions of how you can work with the topic. You know, like Donna said, the holidays have just passed. Now you have a whole year to think about, you know, how you want to handle this next holiday season. And then, of course, you know, all the different events that come up when you are with other families that might have different ideas than you do for your family. And then also how, just to give you some food for thought, some things to think about and for your own self to kind of work through, because this is, Waldorf education is just such a journey. It's a journey for your child. It's a journey for you. It's a journey for your family. And, you know, when I look back 20 years, when I started my Waldorf journey, I simply just heard about it from my brother and his wife, and they sent their children to a Waldorf school, and I just started investigating. And it's been a very interesting journey of hearing some things that I thought were strange, hearing some things that I really resonated with, and then seeing how that has shifted throughout the years. So I just want to give you sort of courage for the fact that, you know, your ideas will shift and change as you move through the years with your child. And so I just wanted to sort of preface everything with that.
And right, and I just want to say, you know, to that like you said, I mean, it just depends on you and, you know, what you decide. There's no, you know, hard and fast rule. You have to do this or you should do this. Of course, there's things that we put out there, and everybody can kind of take it to the degree that they feel comfortable with or they, you know, want to. And like you said, things may change, or you may deepen your convictions or you may loosen them, you know, depending on your ages of your children and what's going on. And, you know, there's a lot of things that kind of come into play here. So I'm really glad that we're exploring this topic today.
Yeah, and I thought of three things to sort of start out this talk with today. And one is that I feel that this topic is sort of the elephant in the room in terms of Waldorf circles, not the idea of sort of, you know, being more conservative around media use and popular culture and those kinds of things, but just the idea of how difficult it can be. So I just want to acknowledge you for, and, you know, kind of underscore that it can be really challenging to interface with families and have play dates and birthdays and holidays and all those things where you have to negotiate and kind of navigate the social waters and you know, hopefully come out with something that fits who you are and what you want for your child. And the second thing is that as I was thinking through all the issues, they're so intertwined. So every time I thought about one issue, I thought, oh, well, that's connected to this and that's connected to that. So it sort of permeates all parts of our lives. You know, for example, when you think about these topics, there's there's food, for instance. You know, just what do you want your child to be eating? That's a simple one. That's not necessarily, you know, even Waldorf. It's just what do you want your child's diet to be, and how, you know, will you compromise, and what are the things that are okay for your child to have when they're visiting someone else? But then there's not only food, there's what they hear and what they see, and that's kind of more what we'll be talking about today in terms of media and technology. And so there's just all these different categories that you can consider. Clothing, you know, in a Waldorf school, many Waldorf schools make the stipulation that T-shirts can't have any writing on them. And for some people, that's just, you know, what are you talking about? That's my favorite T-shirt. And for some people, that feels that's a good thing. So there's a whole continuum of how far you can go and what works for you and your family. And then the other last point I wanted to say is that every parent, I believe, in these days, this day and age, is dealing with this on some level. Because whether you're a Waldorf parent or not, you know, the possibilities of technology are just escalating at an amazing rate. So these kinds of decisions are facing everybody. Mm. So I thought to start out, what we could talk about, and Donna brought up some of these ideas, is what are the issues around popular culture and media? And I think the first one, and the one that sort of hits everybody, is the feeling of isolation, or just the feeling of being different, or why do these ideas have to not be part of the mainstream? You know why is this? I remember when I was just starting out teaching, and I just thought, oh, it seems like every corner I turn, there's something that's different that, you know, I need to sort of enforce in my classroom. But so that's just the first thing, is how it can be kind of isolating. You might feel alone or unsupported. And I think it's just important to talk about that and the different ways that you can find solutions to that particular issue. So I don't know if you want to talk about your feelings as a parent, maybe through the holidays, of things that came up for you, Donna, around this issue of just feeling isolated and different.
Yeah, I mean, I guess now I've been doing it, you know, for so long that I'm more confident in my decision, so it's not so much of an issue of, oh, what should I do or what should I not do, but it is this issue of, you know, I feel like I'm always the one that has to say no. I'm always the one, you know, that, and my kids are just getting to the age where they're starting to realize that a lot of these things I'm saying no to, you know, but when in the younger years, they didn't really, you know, it just was, as they get older, it's getting harder, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is hard. And at the holidays, you know, you want it every day. And it's already, you're already around your family. There's already like issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to get along. And then, you know, it's like, oh, you're the only one who won't let them watch this movie or video. Or, you know, we just had a situation come up. You know, again, here is a family of mine who knows that I've been doing this type of schooling and living a certain way for like 7 years or more, yet I still, you know, my kids received, you know, an electronic game for Christmas, you know, from someone who surely should have known that that was not something I would have liked, but, you know, actually came back to me with the statement, well, you're always on your computer and iPad, so it's your girl's turn. You know, it's a little bit of a slap in the face to me as well.
Right.
And then also I was like, whoa, yeah, but I'm not 10.
Right. Exactly.
Anyway, you know, so it was, and my immediate reaction to this, I'll just use this as an example since this is pretty fresh in my mind, was, oh my God. I mean, it wasn't like a horrible game. There's many worse things. It wasn't like, you know, a video game per se. It was like this game. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that old game called Simon. It was sort of like that where the lights flash up and you have to press. But it was still a game that had flashing lights, it had noises, and it had batteries. You know, something we have not had in our house in a very long time. And my initial reaction was, oh my gosh, when can I like stash those away so they won't find them? You know, and I just let them play with them, you know, while it was kind of going on. And then I just, you know, kind of put them off. Well, first I made them mute them. I was like, if you're going to play, you've got to turn off that stuff. I want to hear all that. But then I just kind of set them over to the side, and really within a few days they had totally kind of forgotten about it. And I have since, I haven't like given them away or anything, but I've just put them in a closet, and they just went back to playing with their regular things that they love, and they have not even asked about them now in at least a week and a half. So, you know, I think, you know, you've got to make compromises sometimes. Maybe you don't want to. I know I let my kids go spend the night with my with their grandma and with their niece, and I know they were eating things I don't really approve of, and they were watching a video, and they were up late and all of that. But I think if you have a good sense, and you know, of your, you know, what you allow, what allow, and then, you know, you let them, they're going to do things. You can't watch them 24 hours a day, you know, as they go along. You've got to just let go a little bit, but then bring them back into that kind of, I don't want to say cocoon, but, you know, back into that place where they feel at home. And we had a similar situation at Thanksgiving when my niece was here, and it was just a lot of things they weren't used to do. We went shopping and things that, you know, loud music and things they weren't used to seeing and hearing, they were exposed to for like 2 days. And when it was all said and done, you know, I could just see, you know, when they left, it was like this, whew, you know, like this huge relief for them. Like I could almost see them kind of decompressing into, oh my gosh, it was all right while it lasted, but I'm glad to be back in our own little way. You know what I mean? Like they felt that, okay, yeah, we're back into our regular routine, and you know, because it's hard to sustain something like that for a long time when you're not used to it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think you bring up a really good point, which is that, you know, the more sort of committed you are and clear about how you set up your own home, then it really has this feeling that you've created your own culture, this is your family's culture, and then they've experienced somebody else's culture, and then you can sort of see a couple of things. One, they may come back with questions, like, well, how come we don't get to, and da-da-da-da-da, so you might need to answer some questions, or you might just see what you were talking about, which is when they do kind of go from this less stimulated environment in terms of overwhelm into a more overwhelming environment, there will be physical repercussions. It could be that they're tired or fatigued. It could be that they sort of exhibit some kind of hyperactivity because children don't have the same ability to process the what's coming at them as adults do. They really physically don't have it. So it takes them a while to kind of work through whatever they've been experiencing. And then, like you said, you know, you just make the choices, you know, depending on, you know, relatives or family or, you know, who, what kind of conversations you feel comfortable having. And like you said, it might be that you have to have the conversation again because people are just in their own track and they may know perfectly well. But maybe you might, you know, after receiving a gift, like you said, you know, find an opportune time to sort of reconnect and say, you know, actually, blah, blah, blah. You
right.
know, so it brings up those kinds of things. Mostly, and I think the children really respond to the fact that this is your home and this is how things are done, and they kind of get that sense that, oh, well, this is how other people do it. You know, maybe somebody has a very you know, sort of more casual approach to food and things like that, but you're very strict about what you let your children eat. And then, you know, you just have to sort of deal with that as they come back with their questions, or maybe they don't feel well, or, you know, that kind of thing. So I was thinking that the first sort of, in a way, solution is what you were talking about, what you've come to, Donna, which is after many years, is just being really committed to how you are living your life with your children and getting clear on your own values. So if you are at all sort of a little bit on the fence about certain things, during the year, you know, before the big holiday season comes up, or, you know, just I think now is a great time to sort of evaluate where are you clear and where are you maybe not quite sure, and then taking some time to, you know, set up some time to do some reading or to do some investigating around the things that maybe you're not so sure about or you have questions about, you know, whether it's around food or whether it's around electronics or, you know, what is actually happening? Why does Waldorf recommend this? Because I think many of us on an intuitive level feel like, okay, you know, this seems like a good idea, and especially for the younger children. I think everybody pretty much agrees in kind of Waldorf circles that from 0 to 7 is really that key time where they're developing their physical body and they're really developing their senses. And so just getting some, spending some time and really questioning, because I just want to remind everybody what happened to me. Why I loved Waldorf so much was, of course, just the, you know, all the arts and the integrative and holistic curriculum. But the other part was that it was so encouraged to question, to hear something, and then to go research and have talks and dialogues and debates about some of these issues. So I think, you know, having that commitment through your own education, which you're doing by just being on this call, is really, really helpful, so that when people have questions, you can have sort of a factual as well as an intuitive explanation as to why you're doing what you're doing if people are questioning. And the second thing around this, around commitment, I just wanted to bring up is that I always have this phrase in my head, you know, that two-year-olds tend to use, and when they first start to talk, and or around three, they say, "You're not the boss of me."
And, <All right.
laughs> and I think just to remind yourself that you are the boss. And I think I think I've talked about this before, but just reminding yourself that you are the authority and that you get to say no and you get to say yes. And I also loved what you said, Donna, about just kind of moving the electronic device aside can be just plenty without making it a confrontation. But, you know, if there is a question, can I go watch a movie at so-and-so's house? Can I do this? And you say no, and they get very upset, and you just calmly, that's it. That's what we do. That's my decision. And maybe there's another time, like you said, they're going to go visit their grandparents, and it just isn't appropriate for whatever reason for you to make that call. Then, you know, this time, because you're with your grandparents, I know it's going to be happening, and this is a one-time deal. You know, just that you keep yourself in that position that you're the boss.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And I think, you know, it depends, too, if it's something that only happens once a year versus something that happens once a week.
Yeah.
You know, and as a mom, I'm thinking about, like, play groups and neighbors and that kind of a thing, you know, which is really a whole different thing. You want, and that, you know, kind of flows into the socialization piece.
Exactly.
You know, if you're lucky enough to have a Waldorf school or Waldorf you know, play group, which, you know, maybe you do and maybe you don't. We never had that here, though there are a few people that we do kind of get together with, you know, when they're in town, that are on the same, you know, like-minded and same wavelength for the most part. It becomes hard because you want your kids, you know, as homeschoolers, you know, you want them to be around kids sometime, somewhere, and whether that's, you know, at a sports thing or, you know, Girl Scouts or like a homeschool co-op, which is what we have here, you know, you just run into a lot of different things that you have to deal with, you know, that you may not, if you weren't using the Waldorf, you know, kind of approach, you just wouldn't have to deal with it. But, you know, I think you know, you've chosen this path for a reason. And I think, like you were saying, Anne, about, you know, getting clear on your values and what really is important. And there's no hard, fast rule, though, you know, you hear this, you know, no computers before 12 and, you know, no media and all that stuff. I mean, you know, you can take it to whatever degree feels comfortable, and especially in the younger years, I would think, you know, try to stick to it if you can. Again, it's, you know, my children have seen videos and have watched some movies, and, you know, and as they've gotten older, I actually took them to the movie theater. I'm shocked that I even have to tell you this, but we went on Sunday to see a 3D movie, which they've been to the movie theater like twice in their life. And it was one of those things, and it was Three Kings Day, and I chose to take them to the movies to see like probably a movie that maybe a 5 or 6 year old would like to see, but they've never seen it. And I thought, you know, it's fine. They're 10 and we went they loved it. And it was a kind of a cute movie and we did it. So, you know, that's the thing. You just have to kind of use it as a, you know, you don't want it to be like running your life, but sometimes it feels that way. And just from a mom's perspective, and it sometimes it feels like there's always these things that you're out there having to say, no, my child doesn't want, can't go to that person's house because they watch TV and they play video games and they eat, you know, sugar or wheat, whatever it might be. And it's hard. It can be a little bit hard, you know, to deal with something on an ongoing basis with neighbors and friends and school co-ops and that kind of thing. So I would love anyone who has questions about this, you know, today on the Facebook group or even next week when we can talk a little bit more to answer individual questions if this is coming up for you, and we can talk about a little bit more about, you know, how to deal with that or, you know, what to do, because that is hard. You want your kids to have friends and you want them to be able to play. It's a kind of a fine line, right? I know I'm very wary, you know, sometimes of like, oh, I know that the kids are, you know, have influence that I don't want my kids to have. So it's hard.
It's an excellent point, that sort of difference between a once a year and then those sort of ongoing relationships that you have through play groups or play dates or birthdays or even just going out, you know, on a shopping trip, you know,
right.
Like you were saying.
Right.
There's all kinds of things that can come in and just always having to monitor that. And it's just kind of the, you know, because of where we've come in terms of our world, in terms of technology and all the stuff coming, it just kind of is, that has to be done, that sort of monitoring. But it can be kind of oppressive when you're simply trying to have, you know, your children, especially if you're in a homeschool situation where you don't have a co-op. You want your children to have friends and be able to interact. And I think the thing I was talking about, educating yourself, getting really clear, because there may be one time, you know, during your child's education, you feel like, well, this is okay, but then you do some reading and some research and you go, you know what, I've changed on that one. That is not okay with me, and I want to, you know, to sort of refigure that one. So I think education is so, so important. And then there's also, I kind of broke this down into three areas, which is commitment, which is just your own education and figuring out what you want, and then or getting clear on your boundaries and being able to say no, your commitment to whatever it is you believe, your values, and then consciousness, which is, you know, all about the education and all those kinds of things, and being conscious and educated about what it is that the other families are doing. So, you know, asking questions, and instead of kind of knee-jerk reacting, opening up a dialogue with those families, and, well, you know, what do, during a play date, what do you allow your children to do? And I'm just trying to make sure that it matches my values, and kind of opening those conversations maybe even before something comes up, so that you have sort of a, you know what you're dealing with, and you can come back with, well, I would allow this, but this, you know, we really don't do this in our home, so I'm wondering if we could come up with an alternative kind of thing. So there's just the consciousness, and what I was just talking about is the communication. So I think what's so essential around this issue is communicating with the families that you may be interacting with in terms of play dates and the regular sort of weekly types of contact, and planning ahead, like whether it's for a once a week type of thing or a once a year kind of thing, just thinking through, just jotting down for yourself, what are the issues that tend to come up? You know, you usually go to Uncle So-and-so's for blah, 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 and this always happens. The TV's in the middle of everything, and it's always on. So that's just how they have it. Maybe you could suggest months ahead, could we move the TV to a side room, you know, so that at least it's not in the center. Maybe that's not even an option, but just as a sort of an idea. So, you know, planning ahead for what might be coming and then communicating, whether, you know, if it's a once a week type of play date or something like that, you know, really having sort of heart-to-heart conversations. And I know it's not always easy, because I think this idea of popular culture and media, it's really emotional for people. I mean, yeah. I remember in my faculty talking about the issue of printing on T-shirts it was almost, sometimes it was really interesting how many different opinions there were. And I think it's so intertwined into how we live and, you know, being, fitting in and being successful in the world, because technology is such a part of our world. Sort of, I think it can be very emotional, and it's important to sort of realize that for people who may be not on your, you know, sort of Waldorf-type path, that, you know, it's not really part of their way of life, and that they may feel attacked, even just by a question. So, you know, having those kinds of, having yourself prepared for either emotional conversations or maybe even uncomfortable conversations. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, Donna, of sort of trying to work something out with a family and feeling like it was really difficult.
Yeah, because sometimes you feel like, well, you know, it's their house, it's their whatever, if they've organized whatever it is, you know, and what right do you have to come in there and kind of, you know, make suggestions. So it just depends on, I think, what it is. You know, if it's like a play date, I try to always, you know, suggest, you know, maybe an open park or someplace where the kids can play outside, if that's, you know, an option, because then they will be running around, they will be playing, and there won't be, you know, so much of the, you know, TV or games or that kind of thing that could come into play. So outdoors, you know, is my number one thing to try to do if possible. Yeah, this came into play. This has nothing to do with a play date, but even like a couple of weeks ago, I took my girls over to a coffee shop right across the street from our house, which we love. And, you know, it seems like you can't go anywhere these days without a television. Like, even at the bank, and there's TVs everywhere. You know, the grocery store, like, we're at the coffee shop, and we brought some handwork over. I just wanted to sit there. We were going to get, you know, some hot chocolate and just do our handwork over there as kind of a change of pace. And in the background, you know, is like one of those crazy talk shows about sex or something like going on in the back. And I finally just, I thought, you know what? I just went and asked the woman, I said, do you mind if we turn this off or put it on the Weather Channel or something? So, you know, and I kind of eyed over and looked at my kid. She was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't even realize. Yes, she turned it off and just put music on. So, you know, it was just me just asking that, you know, to change the, you know, what was happening. But, you know, that's just an example. Sometimes you can do it and maybe sometimes you can't. And it is hard. It's hard to have those conversations, whether it's family or friends, you know, as far as, you know, and they kind of look at you a little weird, like, you know, maybe, oh, your kids don't watch TV, you know, and it is. It is sort of that, you know, you want to fit in, you want to, you know, be included, and, you know, it goes right back to our days in school, I think, or whatever. But, you know, I think at this point I'm kind of over that, because I think, well, I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing the best I feel I can for my kids. And, you know, I don't always make the right decisions 100% of the time, but I do the best I can. And so I try to, you know, kind of, you know, give myself that, let myself off the hook. You know, if I make the wrong decision, well, you know, it's not the end of the world, and I'm doing the best I can, and you know, I feel like I'm doing what I need to do to, you know, kind of protect them from the things I don't want them to have, and it's important enough to me that I will take the stand and be committed to that, you know, in as much as I can, you know, even with in my husband, you know, he's like, okay, what rules do we have about this? You know, he's always looking to me like, and it sort of does feel like that sometimes. Okay, well, we can't do this, you know, and we can't do that or whatever. But, you know, I try not to think about it that way. From his point of view and from other people's point of view, it may seem like I have all these rules. I know my mom feels that way, my sister, and my family kind of looks to me like, well, let's ask Donna, because we have to, you know, kind of run it by her, what her kids will do. And but I, you know, just by seeing my girls now at 10 and how amazing they are and how creative they are, I wouldn't change a thing I've done. You know what I mean? Like, looking back, they can just go play with rocks and sticks still. You know what I mean? They are so creative, and they're blossoming in such a way. And it may be hard to see that when you have a 5-year-old or a 3-year-old, you know, but when they continue, and I'm sure, Anne, you know, just from watching your own students kind of blossom up, and you start to see all the things they can actually start to do, the handwork my children can do, the things they can do that I can't even do, you know, already, it's worth it to me to kind of stick by these values that I feel are important, whether it's healthy food, so because they have strong bodies and they're not sick, or it's the not watching TV and the game so that they'll go be imaginative and creative and play outside and be healthy, whatever it is. So I think it does kind of tie back into your values and your level of commitment there. So I hope that gave you some stuff to think about there.
Yeah, I think, it's funny because I was thinking about the situation where my niece, who actually went all the way through Waldorf school from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade, and she had a birthday party for her child, and she decided to go to a pizza place, but she kind of rented it out or, reserved it for everybody. And then there was the big screen TV that she hadn't thought about. And so there we are. But she just, like you said, she just went up to the person and said, could we please turn that off? And she said, sure, no problem. So it's sort of things like that that you might not even consider that you could actually change the environment to how, you might want it. And it might, people like you, the person said, oh, I didn't even realize. We're just not thinking.
Right.
So that kind of leads into something I was thinking about, which is that, instead of saying no, you can also propose options and think ahead of time for whatever the situation is. Like you said, proposing, let's go to the park, or proposing, if you're at a party situation or a birthday, or I was thinking more of the holidays in this situation where there's lots of people of different ages, you can play fun games like charades, or you can maybe rally people around something that isn't media-oriented and have a whole little box of ideas that you can throw out at any time. It's kind of the teacher, the teacher mode. Oh, you have these 10 things that you can always pull out if things aren't going well.
Right.
So in a social situation, you might be able to have some of those ideas. And after that, I was thinking more about, like you said, sometimes you just kind of have to let it go. That it's just, you can't really influence the situation, and next time you'll handle it differently or whatever. And then just kind of being ready to deal with whatever the repercussions are, whether it's questions or they're, not feeling well or whatever.
But yeah, I think, like you said, it gives them an opportunity to have discussions, especially when your kids, get a little bit older. How come they can do this, or I did this at their house, and then you can, you discuss, we don't do that in our house, or I don't really, whatever. You can kind of go, and my kids know something you were talking about with a birthday party, or, it just seems like no matter where you are these days, when there's some kind of a function, it means junk food with kids. I don't know what it is, but it's always, any type of party, and it's always sugary cakes and, Kool-Aid or whatever. But my kids know that they're, and we don't get that a lot at home. We do some, but they know when we go out in a situation where there's a party or whatever, they drink water, and then they can have, a cupcake or whatever. But I don't let them have the cupcake and the Kool-Aid or whatever. There's no reason to have that. You can have the cupcakes and the cookies, but drink the water. At least there's something. So it's a compromise I've made, and they know now that they can have the cookies and they can have the things they don't usually get, but they also need to be drinking the water and not having the Kool-Aid on top of it. So it's just something that we've kind of come up for our own thing as a compromise into social situations where it's like, all right, go have your little treats, but, don't forget to drink the water. At least they're getting not extra sugar, right?
Right.
Or food coloring or whatever.
And your point is that you're the boss, and you get to decide how much and when, and you can sort of suss out the situation and kind of, you don't want to have them feel totally ostracized. I do remember a little boy, I think he was maybe 3 years old, and his parents were macrobiotic, and he would come over, and he wasn't allowed to eat anything, and I just felt like, this just doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
It was just too extreme. But the other thing I thought, something I recommend, which is that they're sort of dealing with, other people's realities and other people's, family situations and kind of compromising and negotiating and all that. Then there's just looking at yourself as an example and creating your own sort of media-free events or, birthdays or celebrations or whatever, inviting your friends. Because sometimes, all the talk, it doesn't really, it's hard. It's hard to sort of feel like you have to convince people of your point of view or, to kind of work that way. But sometimes it's just good just to have people experience. And like you said, even just seeing your children and how healthy they are, that's also a way for people to sort of come and ask questions. Because one of the things that Steiner said was, don't preach about Waldorf, but wait for the question. And I really took that to heart the first time I heard it. And if I feel like it works, pretty well most of the time, where I just, if I'm in a situation and people ask me questions and I'm, of course, talking, can't get me to stop. But anyways, just to kind of create situations where you're kind of a leader in a way, instead of feeling like you're fitting in, kind of being proactive and creating situations that aren't, where you're going to be preaching, but just sort of examples. So it could be a birthday or a festival or an event, and inviting friends. And then at the same time, you said you have your co-op. If you have the opportunity to connect with some different families and find some families that have similar values, and creating a play group or a co-op or something like that, I've said this before, but, connecting with the Waldorf school nearest to you and finding out if there are groups that you can be with, but so you don't feel, completely out on a limb in terms of your community, or creating a little community for yourself, I think is really important.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, if that's available, it's ideal.
Yeah, really ideal. But I'm just thinking of, taking that one extra step, you might not even realize that there's a community where people are just going, I don't know what to do. There's Facebook, I don't know the names of them, but there's, all kinds of social media things that are, you have younger children, but there's so many questions coming up from parents, and they might just be thirsting for a place to at least just even talk about these things. They're sort of, going along feeling, a little bit's okay. And then they're just inundated by, options and games and digital devices and things. And so, you might be able to sort of start a discussion and start an awareness group or that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, on that fact of media, while we're talking about it, it is hard. And it's hard for me because, honestly, I am on the computer a lot. I have a business that's online, and I do now have an iPad, and I do have an iPod, And so, my kids are starting this, well, you are on there. Well, what are you looking at, Mama? You're all, And so it is hard. I have to take that and go, I need to, do I need to also check myself? Am I getting a little bit on it too much or whatever, but it is hard. Like you said, the technology is everywhere. We're always on our phones. We're always connected. We're always, the texts are coming through. My kids know what it is, and they know what texting is now, and they see it happening all around, and they see their friends, even their age, who have phones, who are texting and it's like, like you said, every day there's something else. And it's hard in one way, you don't want to just, close everything off, and you can't, because at least I can't, because I'm already right there doing it. But, I'm not 10, and I didn't have a computer and an iPad and an iPhone and a phone when I was 10, obviously.
Right.
The times have changed since you and I were younger, right? So
Definitely.
It is different. And then you'll get people who will say, well, your kids are going to be really behind, because this is another issue. Your kids won't know how to use computers. Or I was just reading about this, how they're not teaching cursive, in schools. I know you may have heard this before, because they're, requiring everybody to use computers and all of that. And so a lot of moms are maybe like, oh, my kids won't, we'll be behind, right, because this whole push of academics and the computer thing. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Oh, I have so many thoughts on that.
Really?
Who knew? But because actually the things that the parents said in the survey, that was their main concern. Even parents in a Waldorf school, all the parents I interviewed were people who were in a Waldorf school, were worried about in the upper grades having their children be behind in terms of technology.
Right.
And then and so I think what this is where education comes in so clearly, because understanding how technology interferes with the process of imagination, once you get really deep into it, you just, it's like once you understand, I'll put it this way. Personally, I love sugar. I love sweets. And I actually stopped eating sugar completely because a little bit just didn't work for me. But now that I feel like I don't have that urge anymore, seriously, I'm just thinking, whoa, now I taste food differently. I experience the world differently. And so the idea of being behind, I mean, it's, with sugar, it's not really quite the same. But just having a media diet, you know, having a moratorium on media, you see what happens with your children, how they seem to be more healthy and more alive. Media tends to dull the senses. And it's the senses that are going to really help develop a sense of themselves, a sense of another person, a sense of the others, what's that called, a sense of morality. I mean, all the arts, all these things that Waldorf advocates is really to develop all of the senses. And that if you think of it that way and, you know, do some more reading and education about that, you'll feel more like, no, this is so worth it, because we... to learn how to use a computer is not that hard. You know, I learned.
Right. I mean, my dad and mom learned how to use a computer.
Right.
So
I learned how to. I learned it in my late 30s. The computer came out, and I got my first computer. And, you know, they're not. My feeling is that being behind is not the issue. Being ahead is the issue. And by waiting as long as possible is going to help children have the sort of strength and the imagination and all those skills, the sort of soft skills people talk about, the unmeasurables, it sort of tips the scales and makes this question of being behind, which is so fear-driven. It's not that it's not a reality. And the other part I wanted to bring up is that I think it's important not to demonize technology, because I think that can be a tendency, even with Waldorf teachers in a Waldorf school, that technology is here, it's here to stay, and it's something that we need to incorporate into our lives, but consciously. So the more education and the more understanding you have about when to bring it in, then you can speak really clearly about it to people who have questions, and you can make those decisions yourself. Handwriting is so... I'm glad you brought that up. It's so related to cognitive development, and using your hands and how you use your hands is also related to cognitive development. So the other piece is that when you're writing across the page, which engages the midline, which is something that is a problem for children who are acting out because they can't read across the line because the midline's there. And handwriting actually helps to dissolve this midline. I could go into that, but it's a bigger topic. But so there's handwriting is really healthy, and I can't remember who wrote this book, but there's a book called The Hand, which would be interesting to look at. And, you know, all the fine motor skills that are important to develop, which are related to cognitive development. Knitting is related to cognitive development. All the movement that children need to do is related to also cognitive development later on. So I could go on and on, but I think not demonizing the technology and you know, just saying you at this time, this is when you can use that. You know, this is when I've decided you can use a computer, or you know, when you're this age, this is when you get a phone, and making those decisions for yourself. And anyway,
exactly. And I know my kids have watched me, and it's like they'll get on. Like when I'm not looking or something, they'll be over there. They figure out how to do stuff that I've never showed them. So I have no doubt that they will be able to pick it up, you know, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of they'll be behind or whatever, because it's almost like osmosis or something. You know, it's like in our DNA now. So I don't have to worry about them. I learned how to do a computer, like you said. I was in my mid-20s, late-20s before I really knew. And I can really do a lot of cool stuff. So if I could learn it, I know they can. But, again, like you said, it's the decisions you make And, I know they say, 12 is the age usually in the Waldorf school, where they don't bring it in until, maybe 8th grade or something?
Yeah, teachers do different things, but right around 7th and 8th grade, some teachers wait until 8th grade. Maybe in 7th grade they get to do one paper typed,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe in 8th grade they get to do three papers typed, but they still continue their writing in their main lesson books, and they still continue with everything else. So it's kind of integrated. And then in high school, what's highly recommended, of course, is that you really study computers and you study the history of technology so that you see where it's all come. Steiner wasn't against technology. He was for consciousness around the use of technology. He, in the 20s and the 19s, he was advocating for understanding of what was happening in the Industrial Revolution so that the children had that, but they balanced it with the arts. That was sort
right.
of his whole thing. So,
right. It's the balance, and like you said, and choosing to do stuff rather than just letting it kind of come in and it can sneak in very easily, and sneak in and kind of take over, and before you know it. I had this happening with I got my girls, they want to listen to music. So, who has records these days, right? When we were young, I had a record player where I played music. And so they had a CD player, and then they ended up, my mom got them these little MP3 players, for Christmas last year, where I was downloading songs. Well, unbeknownst to me, it also had a radio on it, which I've just recently realized. They've been over there listening to songs off the radio, so this has been another issue of pop culture or whatever, and it's and I'm kind of standing with, didn't I do that when I was their age? But yeah, and I don't want to be this person like, oh, you can't listen to today's music, and all of that. But just realizing what's out there and saying yes, but they didn't have, these concentrated things, just like watching movies. When we were young, we went to the movies, right, Anne? But we didn't have a video that we watched 100 times. We went to the movies once and watched the movie, and then it was gone. We didn't have these movies where we're on the car every time we're going somewhere. It's just the repetitiveness and the kind of how it kind of just leaks into everything. So like you said, having that consciousness and making the decisions and making, the rules, if you will, of what you'll accept and what you won't is the whole thing, is doing it in a conscious way.
And then the other thing I was thinking about when you were talking is that also to be really aware of ourselves, what we are, how we're interacting with technology. I think about it a little bit like Gollum and the Hobbit and the Ring. It's like we're using it, but we have to take a step back, even every quarter or something, and go, okay, maybe I'm getting addicted. Maybe what would happen if I didn't have my computer? My computer crashed a short while ago, and I felt so free. But, just to kind of monitor ourselves and making sure, kind of looking at how is it affecting us, even though we're adults and we have more capacity to process these things,
They're watching us, right? I had my internet go down 2 days ago. I freaked out and took the kids to Chick-fil-A so I could work in the afternoon, so that's probably not a great example. But it's like, you're right, to take a look to see they're watching us. They're modeling, what we're
modeling.
Doing, right?
And to see, where maybe there's places where we could, put a little boundary for ourselves, like only this amount of time, or maybe it'll help us, be more efficient or whatever. But just
Or after the kids are in bed or when they're taking naps or whatever, and let it not take away from the time that you're spending, with your kids, always being on the phone, right? That's the thing nowadays. Well, even when you're just sitting in the parking lot or waiting for something, we pull out our phones, we're checking our emails, we're calling a friend, or whatever. There's this constant need to be plugged in or whatever. So
So checking ourselves, getting educated, figuring out your communication style, and kind of getting yourself set so that when the questions come, because, what we have right now is probably about 10% of what we're going to have in the next 5 years. So getting really clear about, having people to consult, having some good books, and I actually made a list of books that I'll send over to you of things that you could to look at just about the senses, because I think the senses, the development of the senses is really the key point in terms of why is technology an issue, because it really does interfere with the development all the way up to, I would say, 14, because ninth grade is really when it's you know, computer use comes into the school and that kind of thing in terms of Waldorf schools. But,
right.
you know.
Yeah, and again, you're at that second, like, level of 7 years, right? The 0 to
yeah.
7, the 7 to 14, and then they're moving into a different
A whole
place.
Different thing. And there's, you know, kind of a transition, and you have to, you know, use your own judgment. And, you know, the other thing I just wanted to mention briefly is that when I was teaching, I really could see the difference of the children that had been had watched something that night and the children that didn't. And everybody knew this one child, no media whatsoever until she was about 12 years old. That was it. The family just was very strict about that. And you could see the difference in her ability to focus and her ability to, you know, also, you know, other factors as well. But then I knew there was a child in my class that, that did watch a lot of media, and it was really palpable the difference and how that child needed to sort of download what they had seen to sort of talk about the story or the issues or the characters or whatever. And then I knew once that child had sort of gotten it out of his system, then he was kind of ready to do the day. So
right.
there's that too, just the sort
right.
of, you know, real life examples.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I'm sure we could talk about this forever. There's so much to talk about. Make sure you guys bring questions about this next week because we can talk
yeah.
further. I know I've had a situation with feeling like or hearing the words come from family members. Well, we don't want them to be totally, you know, what's the word I'm trying to say, sheltered. Like they try to give... I find people like trying to almost like if you think about slip my kids things, like, you know, just watch this little TV show here or just to slip this food or this whatever so they
oh wow
don't feel like they're totally, you know, what's the word I'm trying to say, like sheltered or just like and I know even my husband has said, well, you know, it's you have to give them a little bit here and there because, you know, it's sort of like if you keep telling the kids no, 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 you hear this, well, that's just going to make them want it all the more.
Mm-hmm.
So I have had this come up to me. I don't agree, but I see their point in like, well, you know, it's sort of like giving kids a little bit of sugar or whatever, you know, you know, so that they don't eat like and pig out or, you know, just like if you hear of teenagers who were had strict parents and then they go off to college and they just like, you know, go crazy or whatever. So that is kind of what I'm meaning if you hear what I'm saying. But I don't know, are my kids going to like just turn on to TV and just watch TV 24 hours a day once they can? I don't see that.
Well,
but I know that has come up as one of the reasons
yeah,
that, you know, family members and even my husband, I catch them, I should say. That's not maybe not the correct term, but that's the way I feel. Like if I go out and come back, they're like huddled over the Netflix watching
mm-hmm.
something. Even if it is something as innocent as Lassie, which he tells me is an okay show. I mean, I got it. It's black and white and it's old. But it's the point that they don't need to sit in front of the TV with you. They'll be happy as they can be just playing, but, you know, they feel like they have to give them that. I don't know why. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
That's maybe a big topic, but...
Right, that sort of feeling that they're going to miss out, that they're going
yes,
to, you know,
yes.
not be...
Yes, they think that they're missing out on something, so they have to kind of give them small dosage so that they know what they're missing out on. But I don't know. To me, that sets up like, oh, they're missing out on it, but they're only getting little bits of it because it's so great.
Right,
I don't
well,
know,
there's...
You know?
Well, there's kind of there's two issues. One is just being clear, you know, within your home of, you know, what the parameters are so that they feel like everybody's following the rules and if there's a change, it's, you know, agreed upon. And
right.
then there's just the idea that a little bit isn't going to hurt, but I like to think of the idea that once you've opened a door,
yeah.
another one closes. So you just have to realize, like, once a child has sugar, they are going to want it.
Right.
And, you know, I've seen children of all ages, their first bite of sugar, and you're just thinking, oh, they didn't really need that. You know,
right.
So,
we feel like, oh, well, we better give it to them. I don't, like, because they're missing, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's just our own culture of we love it, so we want them to enjoy it, too. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the idea about being sheltered is, I was talking with my eighth graders, actually, about this very issue, and I was really impressed by the fact that they said, after all was said and done, that they were very comfortable being different.
Mm.
And, You know, so they had this idea that, you know, they didn't when they were growing up. Why? And why do we do this? And why are we always so different? But when they got older, they really appreciated the fact that they could stand around a group of people and have their own opinion and their own way of doing things. And they did not have to fit in if it didn't feel comfortable for them. So I think holding that in your head is a really important piece.
Yeah, we're creating, you know, independent, creative, you know, kind of real thinkers and problem solvers.
Yeah,
I see it already in my kids as well. They definitely have opinions, you know, of what they like and don't like, and they're not afraid to tell you about it in any way.
And I will tell you that as a Waldorf teacher, you know, people think, oh, it's a private school and everybody's so well-mannered and da-da-da. But the truth is that those kids, they are alive, and they do challenge you, and you have to meet them with the right kind of authority or discussion or whatever it is that they need. But they grow up feeling like, you know, that their opinion counts, that they, you know, that they have a sense of independence, like you're saying. And then with all of that said, like you said, there are going to be times when something comes in, but you just want to be in charge of it. You want to be conscious of it and having conversations about that with whoever it is, you know, other families and that kinds of things.
Yeah, I know. And I used to be more like, oh, like freaked out about it. And then, you know, I've relaxed a little bit because I know that one afternoon here or there or one week in here is not going to, you know, undo everything that I've done because I've seen it. You know what I mean? Now I guess it's just sort of hindsight. Like, okay, I know they'll come back into and we'll get back into our whatever, and I know it's not the end of the world. You know, you can't control everything 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We just do the best we can. And, like you said, do it from a conscious place. Have the conversations as much as you can. And you have to keep having them, as you just said.
You do. It's
you know, you just have to keep reminding people, even though your kids are older or something's changed or maybe nothing's changed, just time has gone by. And usually the people who, you know, the family or whatever, it's not that they're intentionally trying to do something against you. They have the best intentions for your children, I know. You know, from even if it's something that you are disagreeing with, they're looking at it as they're trying to help or they're trying to give your children something. Mm-hmm. You know, for the most part, that's probably what it is. So if you kind of come with it, well, they're not really intending to, you know, do something and go against you, you can be a little more, you know, objective in your conversation with them about it and just, you know, keep explaining.
Right. Like you can use those, you know, conversation skills, those listening skills, those skills that make people feel listened to, you know, that's when you bring out those things because that's the time when emotions can come up around those types of issues. And I think it really has to do with feeling left out, feeling like, you know, kids aren't going to succeed and all those kinds of things. And, you know, I just turned in my master's thesis, and the more, I mean, I'm a dedicated Waldorf teacher, dedicated to Waldorf, and yet I did all this extra research, and I'm even more dedicated now. So, you know, it's always layers of sort of understanding and finding your commitment, being able to communicate about it, and then being able to take action on, you know, and feel like you are the authority.
And it's a constant process. You just have to keep, you know, reevaluating the situation or monitoring it and making the decisions. You know, is this good? Is this not good? Do I want this? Do I not want this? And as you go along, you know, you
and just, I just want to leave just with one last thing. I'm going to send over a list of books, but there's also a website. It's actually a video to look at online, and it's from the Marin Waldorf School, and they did a really wonderful job of doing some interviews with some teachers, some parents, some Waldorf type people, and it's a lot around this issue, and I think it's just a good sort of inspiring video. So I'll put that
on. Great. Awesome. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up here, and then you guys bring your questions next week. We can talk about, you know, your particular situations, you know, around any of the stuff we've talked about, or if there's something else that we kind of left out that you want to talk about, send your questions over to me. You can go on Facebook or, you know, try to be on the live call, that would be even better. We can actually talk to you. And if you do send your, you know, information over on Facebook, try to be as detailed as you can. Give me an idea how old your children are and that kind of a thing, because, you know, it helps as much information as we can have to answer the questions that we need to answer. So this is a great topic, I think. I already got a couple comments that people love what we were saying here and loved hearing all this, and it is one of the major things, I think, with Waldorf homeschooling that we face. So, let's continue the conversation next week, or send me your questions over, and we'll chat about this a little bit more. I'm sure there's plenty more we can discuss, right?
Yeah.
And I'll get that all those resources up for you guys to take a look, the books, and great to have the video that we could check out. That's a great resource. Thank you so much, Anne.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate your talk today, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.